great love of Jesus. The greatest attribute of God is the one I'm going to preach on this morning. That is God's holiness. However, praise God for His love. Without His love and His mercy, we would be all doomed to hell. In Luke chapter 1, verse 49, if you'd turn over there, please, with me. Holy is His name. Luke chapter 1, verse 49. And yet I want to read the portion before that and after that. Give us a springboard. Some, I'm sure, are not acquainted with John the Baptist's birth, nor his life, nor the birth of Jesus, nor his life, except through the times when they've heard about Christmas, the birth of Christ. So in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, verse 39, we'll begin there. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice. That's very good for people who think that the church house ought to always be quiet. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice. So, for those that have tried to put their fingers in their ears at Pastor Harvey's preaching at times, I have some scripture to back me up. Another verse is, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet." If you had enough trumpets going, I'll tell you, it'd pierce your ears too. But let's look and go on here. "A loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And now verse 46, as we see Mary's great Magnificat as we read this. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." Stand with me just for a moment as we read just the 49th verse together in unison. Verse 49, as we read together. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Let's say that three times, please, together. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. Our Father, we thank thee for the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest attribute, O God, of thee. And then surely of the Holy Ghost, for that's the part of his name, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And so, dear Lord, as we consider this first couple chapters of the book of Luke, we pray, our Father, and the happenings that are in there for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our, dear Lord, direction to give thee praise as Mary did. I pray, our Father, that we would catch a glimpse of thy holiness from the holy book of God, the Holy Bible. May, dear Lord, our lives, may we be challenged afresh to have holy boldness and a life that is given over to holy thoughts and holy actions, holy words, holy deeds for our wonderful Christ. For one day, by thy grace and that alone, we'll go to that holy place called heaven. And we'll be so glad that we were more holy than we could have been without a sermon like this, or without encouragement to walk a holy life, or to get closer to the Holy Bible and closer to our holy Jesus, closer to the Holy Spirit, closer to our holy God. How great thou art. Dear Lord, help us to realize that thou art the greatest in thy holiness. We'll thank thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We preached the last couple of weeks on the greatest of these is love. And the greatest thing you can do for God is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind and might. And the next greatest thing you can do is love your neighbor as yourself. I was thinking even about the music and taking the instruments for you that have come back and with us. If you have any time at all, please take advantage of the opportunity to learn the instruments. I don't know how well I do. I hope I do better than I did on my piano lessons. But I'm going to try it. And I don't think I'll get as great a encouragement as she said about Scott Hallman. She said he did real well yesterday. And so I'm not even going to think about doing half as well as you did, brother. But what should we do all this for? So we can learn the holy hymns and sing these holy words that were put to music, the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We ought to consider our holy Savior in everything. The Holy Ghost is mentioned in the first couple, three chapters of Luke at least six times. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is mentioned over and over and over again. It says that John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Figure that one out with me. You'll never do it. When we get to heaven, if you have that question, it'll probably be erased and you won't even ask it. But how can anybody be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? Well, John was. And if Jesus be God and the Holy Ghost be God and God be God, then Jesus was the Holy Ghost. Whew. I know that you don't read it that way, but he's God, amen. And the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And his virgin birth was the holy virgin birth, for none other had ever been born like that or ever will be born like that. It said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. That which is conceived in you be of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is the Holy Savior. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Our salvation is a holy salvation. Everything about Jesus, God, or the Holy Ghost is holy. Everything. Even his great condescension to be born of a virgin. It's all a miracle. And boy, I'll tell you, everything about Jesus is miraculous. It's holy. Just marvelous. Holy redemption. The holy virgin birth. Holy Savior. There was a holy forerunner for our Christ. And his name was John the Baptist. Holy praise is mentioned. Holy mercy. Oh, thank God for his mercy. Can you imagine as Mary goes to her cousin, Elizabeth, and as she comes in at her salutation, Elizabeth is 6 months along. And by the way, that was miraculous as well, because you recall earlier on as Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, as he was going in, as his time was to present incense and prayer, the people were praying outside, and an angel came to him and said, you're going to have a son. Thy prayers are answered. He had forgotten about those prayers he'd prayed for a boy baby way back there, because he was old now, and Elizabeth was stricken in age, and she was barren. And he said, you'll have a boy baby. And somehow along there they said his name's going to be John, just like Jesus. His name was named by the angel of God. So the name of John the Baptist was given, for they said no one else has ever been named that. Name him Zechariah, like his father. And his mother, Elizabeth, said, no, his name shall be called John. And they said, well, they beckoned to his father. He didn't have the belief that Mary had. She had believed. Blessed is she that believed. Did you get that when we read? She believed. But Zechariah didn't believe. And he was smitten and he couldn't even speak for the whole 9 months. Or longer. Between that time and the time that John the Baptist was born. And so they said, they beckoned to his father, what should we call him? And they said there, and he took a writing table and he said, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately his mouth opens up. And he begins to praise God and prophesy. I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. But earlier, as Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin, and she gives the salutation, and Elizabeth, I'm telling you, the same term is used for the Esau and Jacob in the womb of their mother. How they wrestled, you know, twins. They were twins. And all wrestling. The same term is used for John the Baptist. I mean, he'd already been active. She was 6 months along. The baby was, John the Baptist was already moving around. But oh, I'm telling you, when Jesus comes in the womb of Mary, the God-man, the Christ, and it says there that the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist just jumped for joy. He leaped in her womb. For joy at the presence of Jesus. Glory be to God. These abortionists need to remember that they wouldn't even be here if they were aborted, these smart alecks. Huh? What if they were aborted? They couldn't even think about favoring abortion. They are idiots. I'm telling you that John the Baptist in his mother's womb at 6 months along, 3 months from term, And Jesus, just newly begun in the womb of Mary, And I'm telling you, there's excitement going on. Hallelujah. And Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Ghost too. Did you see that? Did you see what she said? Did you see that part? That's tremendous. Tremendous. Blessed is she that believed. And there'll be a performance of all this. Boy. And then you have Zechariah. What a tremendous thing the Holy Ghost gave to him. Look at verse 67. Well, verse 66, we ought to go from there. And all, this is the same chapter, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. I'm telling you, this is a holy redemption. Jesus is our holy redeemer. He buys us back from sin and slavery to the devil and slavery to lust, slavery to the flesh and carnal things and carnal thinking. Verse 69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us. Aren't you glad that for us is in there? In the house of his servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. We have holy prophets mentioned in here. I mean, it just seems like the first two chapters, everything about it's holy. Holy, 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 all the way through. Which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Holy, all the way through here. For his name is holy. The Holy Ghost's name is holy too. Hello? The Holy Spirit's name? He's a holy God. He's a holy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, we believe in the Trinity around here. It's biblical. You don't have to understand it. It's so. You can tell those Jehovah's Witnesses for me, they're wrong. Like I witnessed to that one fellow down there. I said, why did Jesus receive worship there at his birth? Selling the San Antonio paper down there. He said, that's okay. He said, I like to talk. You know, these Jehovah's Witnesses always do. But I asked him that question. Why did Jesus receive worship at his birth there around, from the wise men? Brought their gifts. They fell down and worshiped. And you know they came to worship because it was all over Jerusalem. And they got to Herod. And then Herod even said, they said, we've come to worship for we followed his star. They came for one reason, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not God, only God should be worshipped. But he is God. He's God the Son. Then, even Herod said, that I may come and come back and tell me that I may worship him too. Liar. He wanted to kill them all. And he did his best to kill all the boy babies. Unbelievable. Time. So, I told this fellow, I said, and then all his life the Lord Jesus Christ received worship. But before this, I asked him, I said, should anybody be worshipped but God, Mr. Jehovah's Witness fellow? He said, no, only God should be worshipped. Well, any Jehovah's Witness will tell you that. Because they make little of the Son and make much of the Father. But the Father made much of the Son. Hello. And the Holy Ghost made much of the Son. Amen? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the God-man. All his life he received worship and never said, like Peter, get up, I'm a man like you. That's exactly what I told him. And then I said, after his resurrection, he received worship as well. So he's either an imposter or he's God. And I said, he's God in the flesh. Woo! You can never make too much of Jesus. You can't make too much of my lovely Lord Jesus. Without him, we couldn't have no salvation. And how does he walk into your heart and into your life and your body? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? But what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And of course, it's God in you. How in the world can you be godly unless God makes you godly? Amen? And so it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Christ. Oh, listen, when you talk about Jesus, you're talking about the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. Whew. Amen? When you talk to a little boy or girl about Jesus, don't be so flippant about it. You're talking about the one who spake the world into existence. Even that fellow, you know, he even admitted that, though. All things were made by him. I was surprised. He said they believed that Jesus was in the creation, that he was the creator, somewhat. But I'm telling you, he's my God, too. Then I told him about Thomas. Thomas said, Jesus said, here, thrust your hand into my side and put your fingers into my hands and see and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, oh, no, don't say that. Jesus said, that's it. That's right. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's right. You got it straight. Finally, Thomas, you didn't miss the Sunday night meeting. Hello? Why in the world do we have church on Sunday night? Because Jesus met with the, on Resurrection Day, he met in the morning with his disciples. Why in the world would you have two services on Sunday? He arose in the morning and he wanted us there. Amen? Glory. And then what? He met with the disciples Sunday night. The men on the road to Emmaus, they rushed right back. And he went right through the doors and met with them. But Thomas wasn't there the first Sunday night. But praise God, he made it the next Sunday night. Better not miss the meeting. You might miss the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lamb. Our Creator. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, might serve him without fear. Look at this. Not only without fear, in holiness. Holies all the way through here. And righteousness before him all the days of our life. We should serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness all without fear all the days of our life. Now, for your children to do that, you're going to have to really work on them, aren't you? You need to keep holy thoughts and holy words in the hearts of your children. Don't ask them. Ask them about brushing their teeth. Ask them about washing their hands before they come to the table. Ask them before they leave the table, as I did, may I please be excused? But by all means, ask them if they've read the Bible. It's more important that they read the Bible. I didn't say that their homework is not important, but their time with God in the Bible and prayer, they're going to have to do that when they're old as I am. All their days, I don't do homework anymore, but I do my time with God all the time. You better have first things first, parents. If you're not careful, your children will get an A or a B in school, and they'll get a D or an F in their Bible reading, in their time, personal devotions with God, their prayer time, their soul-winning endeavors. They're praising God like Zechariah did and Elizabeth did. By the way, when you find Zechariah, he was a priest, by the way. When you find Zechariah, he's going in to offer the incense. And he had prayed his prayer a long time before for a boy baby. It just took a long time. God will answer prayer in his own good time. He'll either say yes, no, or wait. But he will answer prayer. He's a God who answers prayer. Saved us from our enemies. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Look at this 76th verse of Luke 1. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Jesus is the highest. Amen. Did you know that Jesus was his own mother's God? Put that in your brain and run it around a little bit. When Zechariah, and they brought Jesus to the temple and gave and presented him after Mary had gone through the purification, and there Zechariah took the babe, and God had already promised to him. It says, I think he came to the temple by the Holy Ghost too. And what does he do? He tells him, you're not going to die until you've seen the Lord's Christ. And as he looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he looked at Jesus, he was looking at his Creator. Beyond us, yes, but ever so true. Oh, glory. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Christ. By him all things consist. He was holding everything that consisted, and it kept everything straight in the whole world. And then Anna, maybe she picked up the baby Jesus too. I don't know, but she sure got her mouth a-moving and her feet a-moving. At 84 years old, she was a-moving out. Isn't it 84? My mother's 85. Hello, my mother's 85 and just in the nursing home, and she's got to have a walker now. I'm telling you, Anna was a-moving out, wasn't she? Woo! 1 year older, younger than my mother. 84 years old. God chose her at 84 to go to everybody. She'd been in the temple in prayer and fasting, and she took the word, the Redeemer's here, the Messiah's here, the Christ is here. Oh, glory be to God. I saw him in the temple. Amen! When they dedicated him brought him to Zechariah, and now that he could depart in peace and go on. Oh, I'm telling you, filled with the Holy Ghost. Simeon, I mean. Did I say Zechariah? Simeon. Simeon in the temple. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. But Simeon and Anna all went everywhere. Everywhere. By the way, what about Hannah in the Old Testament when God gave her the little boy Samuel? Little asked of God. I call him little asked of God. Everybody went around and they said, there's Mr. Asked of God. That's what his name meant. She'd asked. Hannah had asked God for a boy baby. And then she got a bunch of other kids too. Children too. But she got Samuel, didn't it? And wasn't he something? Whew. It pays to pray if you get a Samuel sent your way and two books of the Bible named after him. I think he's a mighty great guy. Right? Great man of God. Samuel. He was a holy man. May God help us. Simeon coming in to the temple. Look what it says in verse 23 of chapter 2. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy, H-O-L-Y, to the Lord. How much more our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, his name is holy. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. We'll finish this out about this declaration by Zechariah. This comes right after his mouth is opened up and his tongue is loosed. After he'd written, his name is John. After not being able to speak a word, how'd you like to, because of your unbelief, not be able to speak for a whole 9 or 10 or 11 months? God can be pretty harsh with us, can he? Do you think Zechariah was a great man? I know he was. I don't think he was, but we're like that sometimes. God just may take our speech away from us for 9 months to a year because we wouldn't believe. The Bible says, don't be faithless, but believing. But now he's coming out of it here. Look what it says. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation. That's the main thing. Christ is first and foremost the Savior, the Holy Savior, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong, John the Baptist speaking about, in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Did you notice what the people said, though, in verse 66? What manner of child shall this be? I'll tell you another reason he was great, John the Baptist, but our Jesus is greater. He is the Savior. See, John was pointing to the Savior. That's our job, to point to the Savior. Point him out to people. Bring them to Christ and Christ to them. But Jesus is greater. He is the Savior. Boy, the clouds of the sky are the dust of his feet. The earth is his footstool, the Bible says. Very often, what you say about God Almighty, you can, without any variation, say the same of our Lord Jesus Christ, for there's none greater than he. Getting back to chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, it says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, and a bishop must be blameless. Not sinless, but blameless, where you can't, as the professor at the university told me, he said, you can't have a handle. When everybody thinks of you, Pastor Harvey, they can't think about you as the bishop of Tabernacle Baptist Church, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church. They can't think of you as a divorced man. Hello? Or your wife either. Amen? Hello? Why, that's a handle. If I did that, I might be having to give child support. Do you think that's a good thing? By the way, I was thinking about this holy this morning, and you know what? It is called holy matrimony. Marriage is holy. And yet God hates divorce, hates putting away over in Malachi. God's for marriage, the devil's for splitting everybody up. Amen? May God help us. See, it's holy matrimony. When we deal with anybody or talk about getting married to anybody, we ought to say, listen, this is a very serious thing. This is nothing to be silly and giddy about. This is very serious business. Two people becoming one. They too shall be one flesh. And says in verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. So that was a miracle. The John the Baptist's birth was a miracle. Jesus' virgin birth was a miracle. I'll tell you another thing, and I think I need to close with this, is the new birth is a miracle too. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. If anybody gets saved, they get saved by the word of God. Not by fancy preachers. Not by fancy words, but just the word of God. Now sometimes we can make it easier to listen to, but it's not so much our delivery as what we're delivering. It's the word of God that saves people. Some people say, well, I like Pastor Harvey. He's all over the place. Well, whether I am or not, you better thank God for the preacher who just stands behind the pulpit and doesn't move around, but he preaches that holy book. It'll save people. I think it ought to be preached with enthusiasm, though. Amen? By the way, our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, what a crowd he picked. The Pharisees looked down their nose at these fishermen, these uneducated, quite illiterate crowd that Jesus has following him. Can't you see the scribes and the Pharisees? They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, but that they'd been with Jesus just a short 3.5 years in the school of Christ was enough to get them on their way. Amen. In a sense, don't get me wrong now, they needed the Bible. And Jesus, he was a walking Bible. Hallelujah. He was God in the flesh. 3 years beside the master, seeing the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk. And hearing words that never a man spake like this man. Words that men had never heard because of his being the God-man preaching. Holy words. Just 3.5 years of the school of Christ. And all that fishing. I'm sure the fishing was good. They knew how to fish. So they knew how to fish for men. He said, henceforth, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Hey, Matthew, leave the receipt of the custom, you publican sinner, you. Amen. Come on, Matthew, follow me. And he left all his money there. And he said, I'll make you richer than you've ever thought, Matthew. I'll let you write the first book of the New Testament. You thief, you. Converted thief. Redeemed thief. Saved from hell thief. Amen. That Jesus cleansed him and took his thievery away. And then in here there's many holy prayers. All I'm saying is that God can take a crooked person or a crooked stick and draw a pretty straight line or preach a real straight message. God doesn't need the intellect of the world. We've got the book. We've got the greatest teacher, the youngest little baby Christian has the greatest teacher. You haven't been saved too long, sister, have you? Just a few months, right? And the same teacher that lives in Pastor Harvey lives in you. Oh, and he'll make this book come alive. He'll just do something for your heart. Amen? Why? Because Christ in you, the Holy Christ of Calvary, will just do just like he did with me when I was just 16, 17, and 18 years old. You may grow faster than I grew because you're a little older if you let him have his way. The greatest teacher lives in us, the youngest Christian or the oldest Christian. And we still have to listen and obey what he says, no matter how much we've done for God in the past. Every day is a challenge, isn't it? Every day is a battle. Every day, the old devil, he's going to jump on you just like he did in Kentucky, brother. Amen. But you got to get in that book and get in prayer and go to church and get fired up again and witness to your buddies. And who knows, when it's all over, you don't win a number of these people to Christ if you let the Lord just live his life through you. Stay in the book. Stay sweet. Don't get bitter about your circumstances. Oh, how many people, you know, they lose the victory because they get bitter. So why did God allow this to happen to me? I didn't sense that Patty got bitter. She called crying just yesterday morning. She said, Dad, we've gone through so much. She said, I had a terrible attack. My pancreas is hurt so bad. I got to go to the hospital. She put me in tears. Why do I have to go through all this? But I don't think she was blaming God. You know what I mean? I thought to myself as I talked to Linda later, I said, oh, man, some of these kids have gone through more than I've gone through, and I've been saved for 45 years. So I had prayer with Patty. Oh, she said, get Brandon on the phone. I want to talk to him. And I gave him the right advice, too. I said, you go down to that place where the doctors are the best and they know how to handle this. You know what she did? She went right to the hospital. She told me last night she's doing much better, thank God. But she's still got a terrible problem. He thought she was going to die yesterday. His pancreas, nothing to mess with. She said, "Dad," I told him as soon as I walked to the office, "I got a problem with my pancreas. I need this done." And she said, "In case I go out cold and I become unconscious, I want you to know right now, I want to go to either down there to Charleston or Atlanta to somebody who knows how to handle this problem." Boy, that Patty is sharp. She said, "I might go unconscious and they won't know what to do." I'm telling you, you might have a trial. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get bitter. Other people have gone through more than you've gone through. So I got to go to Iraq. Well, God's able to bring you through Iraq and Vietnam and everything else. Amen. He's able to do through the Second World War. He's able to do whatever he wants to do with us. We're his anyhow. Just don't get bitter with God. Don't get bitter with people. Just say, "Lord, help me to go through this trouble or trial and give me the grace to go through it. I know you'll go through it with me because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. But give me grace to have a sweet spirit about it." Oh, the devil gets more victory in our attitudes than anything else, dear Christian friend. Hello? I got three fingers pointing back at me while I'm pointing one at you or two. Hello? Your attitude. How's our attitude toward our brother? Is it a holy attitude? Are our words holy words? Our actions holy actions? Our tenderness. By the way, my tenderness shouldn't be just toward my daughter. It should be to other people too. Wouldn't hurt me to weep a little over everybody, amen? And not just my Patty. But she's mine, amen? And she's had some problems. Seizures at birth. Her head started swelling. They did a brain puncture. The doctor there, a Jew, said, "This is very dangerous too." Put a needle in her brain, find out which side the thing was. Then she was on Tegretol and phenobarbital until she was a certain age. Took her off of that and took the shunt out that was from her head to keep her head from swelling. Then she had 15 years old. She had heart surgery. We joke with her, said she finally got her heart right. I mean, heart surgery. Denton Cooley did that. Then she's had lost triplets. Whew. They got born, lost all three. And they had problems with little Andrew. I tell you what, if you think you're getting down and you got too many problems, call Patty up. She's still here. Amen. Call Patty up and let Patty just let you know how many things she's gone through. She's got a good mind, that girl. She's like her mother. I'm telling you, she's got a good mind. Like my mother. My mother's got a good mind for 85. My sister told me that yesterday. She knows everybody. But just call Patty. I'm telling you, my own dear mother. She's 85, and my mother's not gone through anything like my daughter Patty's gone through. And look at how young Patty is. All this pancreas trouble, on and on and on. Just one thing after the other, amen? But my grace is sufficient for thee. Just don't get bitter, amen? That preacher, all he does is preach at my sin. Well, thank the Lord. You want to go to a church where the pastor just says you're wonderful all the time and you're not so wonderful and you're becoming less wonderful all the time until you go out and meet God? You've heard the story, you know. You're rubbing the cat the wrong way. Well, tell the cat to turn around and he'll enjoy it. Well, be thankful. Amen. Just ran over a cat yesterday accidentally. Bringing up cats. And I was in a hurry. I didn't have time. And I drove up that road later on. And there he was. On the side of the road. Just thank God you're alive. Amen. I tried to miss them now for you cat lovers. Well, I tried my best, but I was not going to wreck my car to do it either. He just wasn't running fast enough. Or in the right direction. But our life can be taken out just like that. That cat just a couple seconds before that, he was just bouncing all over the place. That could happen to us. Amen? Just thank God for everything. And everything give thanks and realize how holy He is. And let's ask God for a little bit more of His holiness. Wouldn't it be good to say this next week, Lord, make me more holy. Help me to get out and try to win other souls to Christ before it's too late for them. Before they're gone out into eternity. Help me to be there for others. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, our God, we love Thee. Thank Thee for Thy Word. Help us to be like our holy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be a mouthpiece like John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost. His mother, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost. His father, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then John himself, filled with the Holy Ghost, pointing people to the Christ of Calvary, the very God of glory. Help us, Lord, to realize that soul winning is holy business. For we're on a holy mission for a holy Savior, a holy Commander-in-Chief. May we hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord, to not be like Zechariah, faithless and unbelieving, but help us to be like he was when he got his speech back and declare, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, directed and challenged and every word brought forth, and even put in thy Bible, thy holy Bible. Help us to be like Zechariah afterwards. Help us to be like Simeon and Anna at 84, went to everybody in Jerusalem who looked for redemption in Israel. And she went to everybody. She said, He's here. My Messiah has come. Jesus is here. The Savior is here. Trust Him. Look to Him. Help us to be about that holy business that Anna was about.